This is Edwin K. Morris, and you are about to embark on the next Pioneer Knowledge Services Because You Need to Know, a digital resource for you to listen to folks share their experience and knowledge around the field of knowledge management and nonprofit work. If your company or organization would like to help us continue this mission and sponsor one of our shows, email bynk@pioneer-ks.org.
سلام به همه. من نوشین هستم از شمال انگلستان. Hi everybody, my name is Nushin Jedi. I'm based in Northeast England. I have worked 22 years in engineering fields, 2 years of which has been focused on practicing knowledge management. I'm currently working in oil and gas field. I create value by applying analogies between different fields. One of the best advices I have received was to meet customers where they are, don't make them to come to you. I use this personal knowledge management app named Snipped. It uses AI enhancement to get the body of each podcast, and you can snip it from them and you can capture it voice and text as well, like a knowledge capturing platform, export it to other platform and use it like in Readwise and read it there as a like accumulated knowledge.
So tell me more about the Snip. How long you been using it?
I've been using it 5 months now. I think they are doing pilot at the minute. So I was one of the users which use it frequently. So I had the opportunity to work with them, review it, give them some feedback. So to enhance it with more capabilities, I really enjoyed it.
It's an actual app or is it a web-based application?
No, it's not web-based. It's an actual app.
Okay. Well, keep us notified on the progress of that. I'll have to do some investigation on that. Do you see it being a corporate asset?
I'm not sure, but they're enhancing it with adding some social aspect to it. So you can share your snippet with others and they can come and comment on it and save it on theirs. So you can follow same-minded people, hashtag it. Mm-hmm. When you can search for a certain topic by those hashtags. Okay. I really like it. And the fact that you can export those into Readwise and while you are reviewing your snippet or highlighted from your Kindle or any other ebooks you're using, text-based person, you can read them if you're audio.
So does it give the attribution back to the source? Does it pull in the metadata of where this snip came from?
I don't think so. I think it's one way.
Depending on how many steps down you got from the original, you have no idea where this content came from.
No, it's captured from this specific podcast.
From the podcast. Okay,
yes,
okay.
Yes.
Good to know. Because you don't want to lose that connection of the source,
no,
right?
No, yeah.
In the academic terms, it would be your bibliography to where it came from. Are you scared? You're still scared.
I am.
Oh, you're not scared. Come on. What is it with the Persians that when they do the rice and it gets that saffron crust on it, they let it sit in the cooker?
Tahjin.
Ah, and the big thing is that flip it over and have that shell on the outside.
That's my favorite dish.
See, it's just a small world. We all like to eat some foods. How did you find yourself where you are now? What was the pathway you took? Was it a direct line to knowledge management?
No, it wasn't. I served in different engineering fields and disciplines, from tendering to detail design and engineering product development, etc., etc. When I was looking for a change in my career, I was at the right time, right place, when I encountered by chance to my current job and was wanting to give it a chance, although I had minimum background about knowledge management.
So you had the opportunity come up and you stepped into it and you really didn't know what you were getting into.
Exactly. I soon found out.
That's a brave step. I mean, not everybody does that.
No. But I soon found out that there are generous communities and people out there to support, like SIKM, KM for Deaf, Straight Knowledge, and so on and so forth. There are really good books which helped me enhance my knowledge. Also, I had few advantages. One of them is personal power. During my years of service, I built trust and respect of others, built contacts, relationships, and expertise. I know how the knowledge flows in the business, how does the system work, understanding the content, audience, customers.
You came with a level of comprehension and maturity that is really needed, I think, in the field of knowledge management, because you're dealing with people, and that sometimes is the problem.
Understand. I think KM practitioners need to talk its people language, understand their process and culture. And I had that privilege too.
What is your engineering degree in?
My background is mechanical engineering.
What does that mean? You built machines, or you ran machines, or you what?
Basically, my field involved with structural engineering, fluid dynamics, what else? Design everything, every details from subsea features to pipes to everything, to every details.
Okay. Do you see any similarity in that framework of what you've been formally trained in and practiced of structures and flow and diagrams and planning and all that to what you do now in knowledge management?
I think engineering is not just designs. Engineers are artists, a symphony orchestra leader.
Tell me more about that.
How the world works and use understanding of system structure to identify possible leverage actions. So system thinking seeks to understand the big picture.
Okay.
How elements within system change to understand general patterns and trends, identify the critical nature of complex cause and effect relationship, and then make meaningful connection within and between the system. So system thinking is like a loop. Observe the real world, build a mental model, test, receive the feedback, and start another loop. From my point of view, KM should be dealt with as a system as well.
Well, I think the first initial step, which is observe the environment or understand the environment, is something that most KM practitioners may have trouble with, because I think that there's a majority of organizations that, just for a baseline here, the three prongs of knowledge management are people, process, and technology. I think a lot of organizations get stuck on technology.
Yes, I agree. But I think knowledge sharing process has two parties, knowledge provider and knowledge receiver, or push and pull. There are multiple factors within each party which affect a successful knowledge sharing. One I would like to emphasize, knowledge sharing intention. To describe that, I would like to refer to Jonathan Haidt's Psychology's The Analogy of Elephant and Rider.
Can you say that title over again? I didn't quite hear it.
The Analogy of the Elephant and the Rider.
Okay, thank you.
This analogy suggests that everyone has two sides. One, an elephant and a rider. The rider represents the rational thinker, the analytical planner, the evidence-based decision maker. And the elephant, on the other hand, is an emotional player, full of energy, sympathy, and loyalty, who stays put, backs away, or rears up based on feelings and instincts. The elephant is often an autopilot. It's the part of the brain that tells us to go ahead and eat the ice cream after the riders have decided to put us on a diet. To make any change.
It's just, it really strikes me funny, because I've had that conversation just recently. So it's pretty funny.
So to make any change, we need to deal with three things. Like give direction to the rider, meaning knowledge of how to get to the destination, which is knowledge part. Got to motivate the elephant, tapping into emotion, which is a long game. This is the people part, which you mentioned. And third part is shape the path for easy progress, which is dealing with process and technology, which is often the focus of change management theories. For change to succeed, we need enthusiastic elephants. So although the rider holds the rein and appears to lead the elephant, The six-ton elephant can at any time overpower the rider, and the rider, although he may not know this, can force the elephant to go anywhere unless that he appeals to him and motivate him in some sustainable way. So to change the elephant, we have to appeal to a felt need. In other words, sparks come from emotion, not information. So in lean terminology, we must have an answer for what's in it for me. That's, I think, we need to deal with in people part.
So let's move into what that looks like in a KM toolbox. And some of the things that we're going to talk about are community of practice. Tell me how you drive that elephant to go the direction you want to.
I think what I need to tap into that emotional thing is a sense of belonging or sense of proud autonomy or individual growth. Other than that, people may think it's just a waste of time to share my knowledge. Other than this, because we cannot force people to share their knowledge by just putting processes in, because it doesn't work.
Well, that motivation, right? You're talking about motivation to engage, motivation to participate, and not every organization is good at getting their people to engage or participate. So what is it in a community of practice that makes that achievable?
I think that recognition, or that people be recognized as subject matter experts, someone to go to, that's proud, that might be helpful to make them like to share.
Yeah, because they get some recognition. Right? They get recognized as people want to hear what I say.
Yeah, or though, like authority type of things, that sense of pride. Other than that, monetary recognition, that doesn't work in the long run.
Why do you think that is?
Because people need, I think after a certain degree, money is not appealing anymore. People need to see progress, progressions. When I started, I was a junior. Then I promoted to this and that. And now I am a subject matter expert. People come to hear what I say, see that progression, not just my bank account.
Did you have a mentor that helped you get here? Did you have a specific somebody that helped you understand what you just said? Because I think most 20-year-olds don't know that. Or I haven't got there yet, I'll say that.
I haven't got any specific formal mentors. Along the way, I had the privilege of good friends, good colleagues, informal mentors, books, attending seminars, everything, podcasts. So I all the time, I try to educate myself and learn bits and bobs.
Okay, so where did you get the inspiration to be inquisitive?
I can't remember, to be honest with you. All my life, I have been like that.
So it's genetic? You're just built that way? You're just always asking questions?
I think I was that, but also I think both my parents were like that. They wanted me to never to get something without, accept something as it is. See why? Ask why.
So you wanted to verify information. You're like, well, okay, so you're telling me the sky's blue. Why? You keep digging. You dig a little more, you dig a little more, because you want understanding. You want to get to a place of understanding.
Yeah, and in like being in this role, I really want to see that system as well. Okay, why I'm asking the people to come and share, why they don't want, actually, again, going back to that elephant, tapping into why he or she doesn't want to do that. Is it just they're busy, or why they're not interested? Yes. Those type of things.
There's a huge element here of psychology. You're talking about trying to understand how people work and why they do things to a degree. So how does that show up when you're trying to work with a steering committee? And I guess give me a definition of what you're thinking a steering committee. How does it look where you're at?
The steering committee, I want them to, not just a workflow to kick in and say, okay, it's time for you to review that. Just like a button or something, like turn people to machine. I would like just, I think it's part of my personal knowledge management philosophy. Whatever I read, I highlight or take a note, and I want to review and see, okay, how these two have analogies to each other, and how can I apply these to like other fields. for those steering committee, I really want people to have the passion to come, but you cannot force to people, okay, I invite you or I nominate you. It should come from them, because you cannot make changes or any procedures to people. It should come from inside. But it's difficult. Some people may have the passion, but they don't have time, or they are shy. They don't want to open up. So it's just dealing with people. It's very difficult.
What's the construct of the steering committee? What's it built for? What's its mission?
The mission is they have to capture the bits and bobs, those critical knowledge, which is really impactful for our next future 5 years or so, but it's not in the knowledge base. Because people are not going to go and review that addenda to the knowledge base, but they are going to see this, refer back to knowledge base itself. But that steering committee have to review and put it back inside. It's like a continuous knowledge capturing system.
But its mission is to steer the knowledge management function. Is that what they're steering?
Steering knowledge capturing function.
So they're sitting on the, I guess they'd have to be looking outward in the respect to technological changes, new methods, new instruments to help to look at how are they going to work in the future. Is that part of it too?
Yes, and new needs, customers changing all the time. Their needs are evolving. So we have to be rapid to capturing their needs and put it in the way how we design our product.
Would you step out on some thin ice for me and tell me what you think knowledge management is?
For me, knowledge management is a discipline that advocates developing an environment to let the dot connection happens. So connecting people to knowledge, knowledge to knowledge, and people to people.
That sounds pretty easy, huh? How's that coming in your place? How's that?
Connecting people to knowledge, you have to know who has the knowledge. So I think it comes under knowledge management. Connecting knowledge to knowledge, it means accumulate those. So you have a basic ground, but you have to put on. Otherwise, you stay back. Connecting people to knowledge where it is. So these connections, it's very difficult. And you have to have it, like you have to capture as a knowledge management practitioner. My idea is knowledge should be captured synchronously, but for the use as asynchronously. So whenever they want, they have access to have it, but it's continuously have to be captured.
So you're also talking about a lot of curation. You can have open-ended capture, an endless supply of memory to store all this stuff, but the interaction with the consumer has to be designed and kept up, and there has to be somebody in charge of curation, meaning things that aren't needed anymore, things that are duplicated, you know, somebody instructing in operating a taxonomy or ontology. And we want to talk about taxonomy, but these are a lot of pieces to orchestrate, you know, to use your word, you know, as an orchestra conductor. Oh my goodness. How do you get them all together?
Yes, exactly. Because lots of documents are just information. If they are not curated for those specific needs, they are not knowledge. Searching those and finding those knowledge, you have to have a correct taxonomy applied and then have those ontology. So I think the main taxonomy builders are those knowledge developers themselves, those subject matters experts. So when they come with new ideas, they have to develop and help on to developing the taxonomy system. And then when we curate it on the knowledge management system or knowledge base, then you can link stuff to each other as an ontology.
Well, isn't that's all automated now? That just the machine just does all that. You don't even have to do anything. It just happens, right?
Yes.
I'm being very funny here. Come on now. Have you ever had to sit down and develop a taxonomy?
I'm trying. I'm under that process.
Okay, well, perfect. Then you can tell me what the pain points are and what people should look out for, and why is it important to even have a taxonomy?
Because it's what's the term? It's a science. You cannot just say, okay, I'm going to tag this, tag that. That's make it difficult. It's you like that bit in, I like that bit in. Those see decide which one. Follow those standards involved and be inclusive to include all the regions, all the products, all the new technology are emerging and everything. So that makes it on time. And probably you need to make taxonomy for next 5 years now, not later.
Just for definition, I pull up Merriam-Webster's definition of taxonomy. And the first definition is the study of the general principles of scientific classification. That is a wordy way to say you're structuring a hierarchical relationship, a parent-child relationship, to make finding and storing data and information much easier to retrieve. Let me just back up the train. Like, for most folks over 50 years old, I'm going to generalize here, that have worked in an office setting before digital world, the taxonomy, for the most part, was a file folder system that was usually alphabetized or chronological. You know, it was a way to store information, to find it again and make it findable in that sense. So that is still the same concept of a taxonomy, but it's a bigger, heavier lift. You know, it's just like you were saying about, you can add all the tags you want, but if I tag something away and you tag it a different way, then those two ways don't ever connect. They don't mean the same thing. So there has to be a very structured, a very thoughtful, methodical way to make systems understandable, because we're dealing with language here. When I say box and you say box, we may have two different meanings. So the classification system of a taxonomy helps to make that clear.
Correct. Yes. And it should fit for purpose and serves the product you're making.
So you said fit for purpose. Tell me about that.
So if you are going to too much details and nobody is going to use it and it's make it more
chaos, complicated.
Yes, and complicated, it's not going to help.
No.
Making putting different names for something you can make. Okay, these synonyms comes to one end. All that, it's make it big task for me to go for now.
So where are you in the build?
At the moment, I'm dividing the whole taxonomy to different sections and different departments and trying to bring, it's something like making different community of practice, but this is just for taxonomy building, taxonomy development. So asking them, we have at the minute these bits, what we need to add. So different departments come together and put this together.
Does your organization have a glossary? Does it have any definitions or common words that are like a dictionary kind of reference?
Yes, we have. We have that. And we have a...
That's a great start, right?
Yes.
A lot of organizations don't even have that.
We have a base taxonomy, but we need to develop it further.
What's the slowest moving part of this process?
I think inputs from people, because knowledge management is not always their first priority.
So you got to go knock on a lot of doors. Hello?
Exactly.
Hello, everybody. I'm here to help.
Yes.
So what's the future? Once you have this taxonomy done, what's next?
I think after that, I would like to have a good ontology, linking, making those networks in. Yeah, it's not going to be easy. It's not going to be soon, but this is the basic foundation. Without a good taxonomy, we cannot have that.
Yes, yes. All right, so I want you to speak to, as a foundation, most people start building a house. Most people build the house and worry about the color of the curtains before they figure out what they should have in the foundation, right? And what you're talking about, a taxonomy and ontology, is something that is foundational, because it gives the whole organization on an enterprise level, it gives it a structure.
Exactly. Yeah. Without that foundation, you cannot have the house. You cannot have the ontology.
For folks that don't know, the Merriam-Webster definition of ontology is, and this is interesting, I would not have said this was that definition, but a branch of metaphysics concerned with the nature and relations of being. When you think of taxonomy, and you've got a tree. So underneath tree, and I'm using my language, I'm sure there's a real word that means tree. It's probably in Latin, but so tree, and then underneath tree, we've got apple and orange. Those are two different types of tree. Ontology piece would be what are connected to an orange and an apple tree that show relationships. So you've got harvesting people, you've got pruners, you've got weather patterns, you've got all these things that are in that arena that affect those two types of trees. That's where we get to the ontology, which is, you think building a taxonomy is tough. Whoa. Once you get the ontology, I mean, it's a lot of work.
Looking forward to...
Yeah, she's like, yeah, I know. Yeah, she's like, yeah, I know it's a lot of work. So what do you need to get that done?
Honestly, I haven't reached to that point yet.
You need a team of 50 people. That's what you need. Oh, my goodness. Well, this has been an absolute blast. I wish you all the success that you can gather. It sounds like you're thinking in the right way. It sounds like you are preparing for a solid future. I wish you all the best.
Thank you very much, and thanks for having me.
If your company or organization would like to help us continue this mission and sponsor one of our shows, email bynTK@pioneer-ks.org. You have just finished our latest Because You Need to Know, a public service of Pioneer Knowledge Services. Please join us on LinkedIn and find us at pioneer-ks.org.